All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Way Enough Rowing Podcast. We're your hosts and masters of ceremonies, the short and snarky coxswains. I am Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
And if you are not following us already on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we are at Short and Snarky Rowing. We're also the authors of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing, available on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it is, we are coming into sprint season very shortly.
Coming in hot.
So if you have new coxswains, old coxswains that could use a refresher, coxswains that just might like to have a present, this is a really good thing to get for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can teach old dogs new tricks with our book.
Yes,
is that absolutely what we're saying? That's what we're saying.
We sure are saying that.
All right, so we've got an exciting episode for you guys again this week. I know how you guys love these news stories. I got a news story for you today, Kate, that you're going to love.
I love it already.
Okay, it's super British. Jack Beaumont, it's via Daily Mail. Jack Beaumont thought he may never walk again, let alone row. Inspirational recovery from a horrific crash will win him no favors with Olympic dreams in mind.
So this guy is training for Rio.
Training for Rio. But so I guess what happened was Jack was involved in a horrific training camp crash, okay? Mm-hmm. He was in a double, and he had a collision with an eight.
Yikes.
Okay.
I've been there.
Yeah, he's got, I've been there in the eight crashing into a fishing boat, so yes. I understand. He's got four fractured vertebrae, two broken ribs, bloody all over the launch, right? The bow of the eight is on his bow, so it flips their boat over, and then the eight people, he's like, nice as can be, they helped us get out and into the launch and all this stuff, right? So he's 4 months after the accident, he's back in the boat. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
No, take your time, please rest. If you have an injury, please rest, take the time to rest. And he is hopeful of earning a place in Britain's rowing squad for Rio.
Yeah, and the quote that he gave when they pulled him out.
Amazing. Okay, ready? He said, when the accident happened, there was a split second where I heard a noise and felt a bit of a bump. That's more than a bit of a bump, Jack. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yes.
Okay, let's get into it. We have an exciting guest today. Kate, tell me who it is.
Well, we have two guests today. We have Annette and Mike Forrester, who are with Regatta Print. And they can give a little more of their bio, but Annette started rowing back in 1978 in Denmark as a high school student. And she's coached for a bunch of clubs, including Penn and Vesper. And her husband, Mike, was a cyclist that has been converted to rowing. And now he's
come to the light side. Not the dark side, because rowing's awesome.
And they are both masters rowers, and they're based in the Atlanta area. And we're going to talk a little bit about their company and what they do for regattas. And they're also very entertaining, we've been told. So we're looking forward to talking with them today.
We absolutely are. So let's get them on the phone.
All right.
Annette and Mike, are you there?
Yes, we are. Hello, short and snarky.
Well, hello, Annette and Mike.
Which is the short and which is the snarky one? That's what I've been trying to figure out.
Well, the problem is that we are both. We're both a little of both, Mike.
Wow. That's a great combination in a coxswain. And all the coxswains I know have been one or the other.
Absolutely. Yeah, so no, we both pride ourselves in being both vertically challenged and maybe a little sassy.
Great. That's a good thing in a coxswain.
Thank
you. So we kind of prepped everybody, gave them a little bit of a brief bio about you, but if you guys could just please, you know, tell us about your rowing background and how you got where you are today.
Well, I'm Annette's biggest fan, but I'm not allowed to tell you. She always hits me if I tell her all the things she's done. So I'm going to have to ask her to do it. No, she's shaking her head. No, she's not interested. Doesn't want to. Go on. All right. Well, okay. So she's extremely good looking. You'll have to guess at that from the sound.
You're medium.
Annette started rowing, as you mentioned, in Denmark. She went. Her dad said to her, "My sisters rowed. They're big, tough girls. Rowing is a tough sport. You'll never be able to do it." And so, what happened to you, Annette? What'd you do?
I had to prove Dad wrong.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
So she rode in Denmark because there was no tennis, because it snows in Denmark a lot.
Yeah.
So then she came back and rode for Penn and Vesper, as you mentioned, and was blessed to be on the Olympic team. So give her... Go ahead.
This is why I don't like him talking about it. Anyway, no, I was on the... I was training for the Olympic team, and I ended up getting tonsillitis at the Olympic trials, and it was so bad that I lost about 15 pounds between the heats and the reps, and my competitors actually petitioned the officials to allow me to take cold medicine, which was, of course, banned. So you know you're in bad shape when they're so convinced they're going to beat you that they petition to allow you to take drugs. Needless to say, I lost by miles, came home, looked for any doctor that would take my tonsils out, found one, and then I was so light that a friend of mine, Sharon Mallett, who was planning to go to the lightweight trials for the first world championships for women lightweights, that tells you how old I am, said, well, you're already at weight, you know, why don't you go? And of course I was feeling dejected since I hadn't made my Olympic dream, so I said, all right, I will, and continued to suck down to stay at weight. So then she, who was the one that talked me into it, decided she couldn't make weight, and that's how I ended up finding Joe Hannafin, who became my partner.
Oh, okay.
And we ended up going to trials, rode the afternoon before, raced the next day, managed to win the trials, and then managed to go to Worlds and get a silver medal. So,
wow.
Not the Olympics, but... an exciting thing all the same.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good.
It's really exciting. That's something definitely to be proud of. So your husband's right. Mike's right. You should be proud of yourself.
There you go. See? Keep telling her that.
Absolutely. We will. We're your biggest fans, too.
So we'd love to hear about your business now, Regatta Print, and what you guys are doing. This is kind of revolutionizing the rowing industry, isn't it?
Well, we think we're the first sort of one-stop shop for regatta organizers and coaches for, you know, printed regatta signage. We've got a new product out, blade wraps, we call them.
Oh.
You'd probably car wraps or, you know, vehicle wraps or boat wraps where, you know, a high-end graphic, you know, usually it's advertising on boats and that sort of thing, is printed and then wrapped around the vehicle or the yacht or, you know, whatever watercraft might be talking about. Well, you know, with the advent of some new tech decal material and adhesives, we've come out with those for the blades of oars.
Oh, wow.
It's particularly useful for people with complex blade designs that are a pain in the butt to paint.
Yeah.
But now it's even, you could even have photographs. So, you know, just for fun, we have a lovely photograph of a pelican that Mike's rowing with on his blades.
Wow. And nice.
I was tired of winter, so I have Lenten roses on mine, but it's almost spring, so I might switch to dogwoods or something.
Oh, yeah, dogwoods. That is incredible.
There's a beautiful option for coxswains, too. Because now we can put your picture on the face of every blade in the eight so that as you're speaking expeditiously to your crew, you can see your own photograph dipping in and out of the water.
I was going to say, Mike, you know, for an egotistical maniac like myself, I mean, there's no better audience than me.
Or if we had memory challenge coxswains, we could put the names of the rowers on their blades.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, Tootsie was skying, but you couldn't remember that it was, you know, Fred, you're skying.
Yeah,
whatever.
And it could be really cool and passive aggressive because then they'd be like, make sure 3C, you go get your blade that says skying. Remember what your problems are in this world. Your horrible skying.
Anyway, so that's our newest thing. But basically, if it can be printed, we can do it.
We do bow numbers.
All kinds of regatta signage and banners. You know, we're getting into gifty things, you know, everything from wall art to souvenirial type things. You know, much of what we do, almost a large part of what we do is custom, but we also do generic things.
You'll see some of our products, for instance, at the Crew Classic. bow numbers, flashes, and other things. And in fact, they're actually selling Memento bow numbers at the Crew Classic this year for the first time, which we produced for them. And then at the Dad Vales or any many many regattas all around the country, you'll see our bow numbers, because we've really focused on making, because we're both referees as well. We've realized that we're all getting older, and the eyes aren't what they used to be. So we have focused on making them very readable.
Oh, that's good. And it's probably better than what I had to do when I was coaching. We didn't have that many bow numbers, and I wish that I knew that you guys were around, because I had to take electrical tape and make numbers.
Business started when I was a regatta director and couldn't find anywhere to get bow numbers. Mike, who's been in the printing industry for 35 years, just sat quietly in the background laughing at me struggle. And then when I was finally tearing my hair out, he said, "Well, I could have done those for you." And after I got done strangling him, he did, and they were typically better and cheaper than what people could find. So
that's amazing.
Then people started asking where to get them, and that's how Regatta Print was born.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's a great story, and that's why we like you, because that's how we are too. I mean, we saw a need for a better class of coxswain, and you know, maybe just like a more middle of the road class of coxswain, and so we wrote our book, and that's what we were like. Hey, let's, you know, we survived, so let's just make everybody else know that it's okay. You don't have to suck. So yeah,
I really think you will fill a tremendous market, because I don't know what it's like. Well, you guys are in Arizona.
Yeah, we're in Arizona.
That's right.
Okay, so once they refill Tempe Town Lake, you'll have somewhere to row, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we will. We have to get our dam replaced. So
it's happening today. As we speak right now, they are taking the old dam out. They have tested the new dam. They are taking the old dam out, and we hopefully will have water in the next month. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've been having to be really creative and do some yoga or something so that we stay off the ergs.
I know. And, I mean, we were just at Clemson today for a try meet, and I was talking to a young coxswain who got a scholarship to Clemson, and I mean, she coxed for 5 years in high school in Florida. Uh-huh. Tremendous opportunities for well-trained and well-educated young ladies and men in the coxing field. I mean, really exploding opportunities.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there sure are.
Totally, there really are. So we have a couple of funny questions for you. Mike, I know that you're kind of a turned rower from both rugby and cycling, but do either of you have a funny like moment from rowing that, you know, it doesn't have to have happened to you. Maybe you guys can tell on each other. Like a funny or like kind of an embarrassing moment of rowing.
Well, I think we've got two funny ones each.
Okay.
My favorite rowing story is when I started rowing in Denmark. I was rowing on the fjords, and they were not too far from where the oil tankers took the oil to and from the North Sea to the refineries. And one winter, I was rowing, and I accidentally encountered an oil slick and slipped.
Oh, no.
And what you wouldn't think of, the thing that doesn't come to mind till this happens to you, is it's hard enough getting back in a single, but once you're covered with oil and your single is with oil, what happens is you get in and you keep sliding out again. Yeah, exactly. So it took about 20 minutes, and I can't count the number of tries for me to get back in that single and to stay in the single, because, of course, I need to row a few strokes and slide out again, to finally make it back to the boathouse in the dock. And then, of course, you have the fun of getting the oil-covered boat and your oil-covered out of the water.
Yep.
And, of course, it's out several times.
Yeah, then it turns
and then,
into
of course,
a Benny
looking
Hill
like,
movie.
You know, one of those birds or fish or whatever that they show on the, Sierra Club commercials about, you know, how big and bad the oil companies are because they have oil spills, and it took 2 months to get the oil off of me.
Oh,
but anyway,
my gosh.
That's my story.
That is hilarious.
And Mike has a great story from his first race.
Yeah, so Annette taught me to row, I don't know, about 12, 15 years ago, something like that maybe. And my first singles race, I slipped at the finish line just before now.
Oh, no.
because
we should have coxswains, I guess.
No, that's what we need. We need better control.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the benefit, you know, of being in a cox boat. If you do flip, you have somebody to pull you out.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so
you have somebody to blame.
The finish line, and I had read the rules of rowing. Amazing. I had actually read them, and I knew that as long as the bow ball crossed the plane of the finish line, I would still finish.
Yes.
So I pushed the boat and shot it across the finish line, and I managed to get third place. I got a gold medal.
Now, and even better, the evening news was there and filmed it.
Filmed me. I made the TV of my first racing experience.
And you filmed me.
The TV.
Well, that's true, yeah. It wasn't me. Just the underside of my boat. There
you go. I love those boats.
Rowing's been very, very good to us. It's given us a sense of fun and a sense of, chance to work with people we like. And I can tell you that the people we deal with in the rowing community are just the nicest people. I mean, you mentioned Concept 2.
Yeah.
Boy, those guys have been just stalwarts in this business, and they really are tremendous people to work with.
They're so nice, and I mean, they're listening, so they're so nice, and we love them so much. No,
we really do.
We love them. We talk to them all the time.
My final little story is Hugh Hudson from Hudson came to us about 3 years ago and said, "Hey, Mike, we want to make some bow numbers that will sort of make us stand apart." You may have seen them.
They're like a shark fin. Yes, we have a bunch at our boathouse, and I love them. In fact, all the juniors fight over them.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but U.S. Rowing's latest rules change now specifies that the preferred bow number has square edges.
Yeah.
So it's a rectangle.
So in some ways, we like to think of ourselves as trendsetters.
Yeah. One or the other.
Troublemakers.
Yeah, you guys are troublemakers. That's what you are. I love it, though.
Somebody's got to be, right?
Yeah,
I was going to say, but I was like, but who are we talking to? We're
troublemakers.
Like, yeah, we're troublemakers, too, so we don't care.
Black.
And then the last question that we have for you guys is, do you guys still have all of your medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
I think we have most of our medals, and we keep them hanging off of Concept 2 oars.
Yep.
It's a Pandoti. Yeah, there's an old Pandoti oar that one.
Oh.
And we hang our medals off of the oars down in the print room.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's really cool. If you guys had a chance to listen to, we were just telling the last lady that we interviewed from Recovery on Water in Chicago. We were telling her that she's like, I have them in a storage bin. I don't really know what to do with them. I was like, just listen to the past episodes. You'll get so many creative ideas on what to do with your medals, because mine are in a storage bin too. So
you know what I need a creative idea for is what to do with Regatta t-shirts. We have boxes and boxes and boxes of Regatta t-shirts.
Actually, so, Kate has the perfect thing for you.
What I did with my Regatta t-shirts, there is a company in Fall River, Massachusetts called Repost, and they make those t-shirt quilts. And instead of keeping them in boxes, you can get a t-shirt quilt made, and they're very affordable. I was surprised at how inexpensive it was. So it was good. It's kind of fun. I have it. Of course, now that's in storage, but at least I've gotten rid of half of the volume from the t-shirts. So.
I'm going to get about 12 quilts, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, you'll always be warm.
Yes, exactly.
This is true.
You'll be warm with successes. Well, thank you so much.
Good idea. That's a very good idea.
That's
good. I'll tell you, there's some smart people.
Yeah, there are.
These guys are great.
Not necessarily us.
For including us on this opportunity to tell a little bit about what we do and how much we enjoy the sport.
Oh, thank you guys
so
much. We have really enjoyed talking to you, and you guys have lived up to everybody's reputation that they've told us and more. So, I mean, thank you guys so much, and we will definitely keep in touch.
Thanks. I look forward to following your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So Annette and Mike Forrester, I really want to come to Atlanta and meet them in person because they sound great.
I kind of want them to be my best friends.
Yeah, I know.
I think that we're going to have to move to Atlanta, Kate. We're going to have to be housed in Atlanta now.
I think we are. Well, thanks for tuning in today. And this is the Weigh Enough Rowing Podcast with the Short and Snarky Coxswains.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, Short and Snarky Rowing, on Twitter, we're at Short and Snarky. On Facebook, we're the Short and Snarky Coxswains. Don't forget to pick up your copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing on Amazon.
It is time. If you have coxswains, it is spring season. It is time to buy them a copy of our book.
Absolutely. And if you know someone who's short and you want them to be a coxswain, buy them the book and be like, here, read it. It's fun and you want to get into this. But if you like us and if you like our podcast, please keep listening. Please subscribe, rate us, send us a review on iTunes. And if you have any funny stories or maybe you have a cool guest that you think would be, you know, good on the podcast, send us an email. If you have questions too, shortandsnarkyrowing@gmail.com.
All right.
And we'll see you on the water.
Last two strokes. That's one, two, way enough. Let it run. Blades down.